Greetings from Japan. I'm Jeff.
And I'm Angela.
And you're listening to the Diplomat's Tokyo Bureau Podcast. All right, so first let's talk about yesterday's big election. So Japan's former health minister, Yoichi Masuzoe, won the race for Tokyo governor. So he's replacing Naoki Inose, and he's the guy that resigned over that big loan scandal last December. Masuzoe ran on a pro-job, pro-nuclear energy platform, and he promised to make Tokyo the world's number one city ahead of the 2020 Olympics. But, as is the case with some other gaffe-prone public figures these days, he was backed by Prime Minister Shinzo Abe and the Liberal Democratic Party. So I'm not a Japanese citizen, and I can't vote, but I was asking my wife about the election, and I told her about some stories that I came across on the internet. I asked her, as a woman, how she felt about this guy being the front runner in the election. Basically, there was a Twitter campaign, and it had, I think, more than 3,000 followers, I believe, and they were calling for a sex boycott. Basically, the women banded together, and they said that they wouldn't sleep with anyone who voted for Masuzoe.
Well, I hope that they don't date or marry anyone who would vote for Masuzoe.
Well, if you're wondering why they would do something like that, the boycott stems from a comment that he made in a magazine interview back in 1989. And he said, "Women are not normal when they are having a period. You can't possibly let them make critical decisions about the country during menstruation, such as whether or not to go to war." The shocking thing for me is that even though some foreign and English news outlets were discussing this, my wife said she hadn't seen anything about this in the Japanese media.
Actually, me neither. I haven't really heard anything about these controversial quotes by him. I actually learned of it through the English language media. And also, maybe through social media, some of my friends on Twitter and Facebook were talking about this. I actually came across some other quotes. Mm-hmm. It turns out that Masuzoe has a track record of saying very politically incorrect things. For example, I translated this quote, part of this quote from Japanese, and he said that, "I don't think women are suited for politics. For example, there aren't many female conductors or composers. Songs composed by women are not that remarkable. When I thought why, I realized that conductors and politicians are similar. Women are missing the ability to lead an orchestra more than men."
This isn't a quote, but I was reading a story that said Masuzoe had something like 300 million yen in assets. He ended up losing about 8 million yen betting on horse races. He turned around and asked to reduce child support payments for his disabled child. Not only was that just an awful thing for a person to do, but this child was born out of wedlock with a woman that he was having an affair with.
Yes.
His
former wife, her name is Satsuki Katayama, and she's also a politician. Mm-hmm. She, according to the website of the group that's boycotting the Masuzoe, she claimed that she wanted to divorce him 3 months after the marriage, and that she found out he was having an affair with another woman, and also he was quite violent towards her verbally, and he also threatened her with knives.
So it should also be noted that Masuzoe was one of 16 candidates in the Tokyo governor election, and he's 65 years old, and almost all of these guys were 60 or older, and they were all men. There were no women running in the election.
Yes, I would have liked to see a bit more diversity in the candidates. Maybe a few women, or maybe someone younger.
And I also found that voter turnout was down. So the previous election in December 2012, there were about 63% of registered voters going to the polls. And this year was about 46.1%.
Yes.
But I think we could probably chalk that up in large part to the snowstorm that we had on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Tokyo got hit with the most snow that the city's seen in, I think, 45 years. So that surely kept some people at home.
I also find it interesting that, well, Masazoe won 30% of the vote. Of those 45% people who went to the election, he only had 30% of the vote. But his two biggest rivals, Kenji Utsunomiya and Morihiro Hosokawa, they won 20% each of the vote. And it should be noted that Masazoe ran on a pro-nuclear platform, while his two biggest rivals were anti-nuclear. Mm-hmm. And since the March 11th earthquake, many people in Japan have really turned against nuclear power. So I think, and due to the low voter turnout and the fact that the vote was evenly split between two anti-nuclear candidates, it shows that maybe perhaps the results of this election don't really reflect the kind of person that maybe the people of Tokyo want as their leader.
Okay, so let's move on from politics to business. Sony made a pretty major announcement earlier this week, and I don't know about our listeners, but for me at least, if I go into a cafe, and I think this is true for Tokyo or New York or just about any big city out there, I think that you're seeing fewer and fewer people working on computers that don't have a glowing white Apple logo on the back.
That is true.
So I remember when Sony Vaio, I'm not sure if I'm saying that the right way, but the Sony Vaio notebooks, they were pretty popular. They were a pretty common sight. Back when I was in college, I remember a lot of people having them, and maybe a few years following college, but it seems that nowadays, Apple laptops and tablets are just taking over the world. So anyway, it seems that Sony's in a lot of trouble because they just announced that they're going to be selling off their PC business to a Japanese investment fund.
Well, I'm not too surprised. I can't, in the past 5 years, I can't really think of a single innovative or unique product that Sony has put out. I feel like all the attention is going to Apple and Samsung because they have amazing products coming out. I don't see how Sony can keep up.
Well, it seems that Sony was initially thinking about selling their PC business to Lenovo, but as I said, now they're selling it to some Japanese investment fund. And the name is Japan Industrial Partners, and the sale is going to be for about $400 million. According to the Nikkei, Sony had less than 2% of the global PC market last year.
Wow, that's so pretty bad.
Yeah, I think that's proof of their flagging business. And it's kind of sad because, you know, since those yellow Walkmans, I still remember the commercial when I was a kid and how everyone wanted those things, and it just seems like since its heyday back then that Sony's just on this major decline. And their Xperia smartphone line, I think that they're relatively popular, and I love the fact that they're waterproof, might I add. That's something that I really hope other companies start adopting soon. And also, of course, they have the PlayStation, which is performing quite well. I personally have a PlayStation 3 that I really like. One of the big selling points for me that I thought was interesting was that Sony included the Blu-ray player. They kind of won the battle for HD DVD or Blu-ray by including the Blu-ray player in the PlayStation 3, which I thought was a brilliant marketing idea. Mm-hmm. Now the PlayStation 4, between November 15th and January 1st, sold about 4 million units.
Yes, so that's really good.
So I think they're doing good, I guess, on the gaming side, but it's just going to be interesting to see what happens to them over the next few years, I think. They seem to be following the other tech giants' lead instead of innovating themselves.
Yeah, but I think that's the same for any other Japanese technology company, such as Panasonic or Hitachi. I think they're also doing quite bad.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting to see because I think for people our age, we grew up with lots of Japanese electronics, so hopefully they'll figure out how to turn things around.
So let's move away from digital and talk about analog. I recently came across this interesting article in the Foreign Correspondents Club of Japan's publication, the number one Shinbun, and it talked about children's newspapers in Japan. I myself subscribe to one called the Asahi Shogakusei Shinbun, which translates to the Asahi Children's Newspaper. And it's actually fairly easy to read. I can show you a copy. For all the Chinese characters, they put the hiragana, or the readings, on the side so that children are able to understand and read them. And also they use simple, straightforward language. They avoid technical or difficult terms. And if they have to avoid if they have to put in a difficult term, they provide some sort of explanation or definition for it.
So is this strictly for children? Because it actually sounds like something that I could get some use out of, as someone who didn't grow up with the language. I'm comfortable having a general conversation, but reading, I think, is difficult for anyone learning the Japanese language, especially because of, as you said, the Chinese or kanji characters.
Well, I don't think it can be limited to children because I subscribe to it. But I know some journalists, some foreign journalists, who read these children's newspapers because they, like you, have trouble reading difficult Japanese, and it's a good way for them to practice. And actually, the market for children's newspapers is actually very big here in Japan. For example, the Asahi Shogakusei Shimbun, it has a circulation of 100,000 copies a day.
Wow.
And if you compare that to a foreign newspaper, such as the London Independent, that's twice the circulation. Or if you compare it to the Japan Times, which is Japan's biggest English language newspaper, that's four times as much. There are other children's newspapers too. For example, the Yomiuri newspaper, which has the biggest circulation in the world, puts out its own children's newspaper, and that newspaper has a circulation of 200,000.
Wow.
And other newspapers also do the same. One thing I found interesting is that not all of the readers of these newspapers are children. The article pointed out that a lot of old folk are reading these newspapers, maybe because they forgot how to read difficult characters, or maybe they're not well-educated enough, or maybe it's the adults' newspapers. They're actually quite difficult, even for myself and for normal Japanese to read. 3 years ago, NHK had a show, a weekly news show, targeted towards children, which, presented current events and news in a way that young people could understand. And they had to cancel that show because most of its viewers were old people, which I thought was silly.
So I wonder, what about content? Some of the things that we've been talking about lately deal with, kind of controversial issues. Mm-hmm. And I think they might not necessarily be appropriate for children. So can you tell me a little bit more about the kind of content that you find in these children's newspapers?
Well, the Yomiuri children's newspaper, and I should add that the Yomiuri newspaper is quite conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Its conservatism, I heard, it extends to the children's newspaper, but if you look at the one I subscribe, it's actually quite neutral. And the editor, they interviewed him, and he said, well, we don't want to push our opinions on children. They should grow up and form their own opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the front page, there's actual general news. For example, they'll talk about Abe's visit to the Asukuni Shrine.
They actually covered that in the children's paper.
They covered that, but they didn't take a position. They said Abe visited and China and South Korea were disappointed, and
mm-hmm.
also the U.S. Embassy was disappointed, and they released a statement. And also, on another page, they did a Q&A section on, why is the Yasukuni Shrine so controversial? So it's quite educational, and if you're new to some of these issues, or maybe because some of these issues are so complicated and you need someone to explain it to you in a straightforward way, I think these sort of newspapers are great.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it sounds like something I might have to pick up once I get a little bit better at my reading. We hope you enjoyed this edition of the Diplomat's Tokyo Bureau podcast. Be sure to check back next week for more news and analysis from Japan.